everyone, and welcome back to Season 1, Episode 7 of My Curiously Queer Life. I just want to start off by thanking everyone who has listened to this podcast. I am grateful. I feel your support, and I thank you for listening and being a part of this. Thank you. I was struggling this week to come up with a topic to open with because I was not feeling 100%. I was drowning in doubt and negative thoughts, and I realized that that was probably the topic this week because everything is not sunshine and roses, and sometimes life gets hard, and we struggle to push through to the next moment, and this is definitely one of those moments for me. I almost didn't do this because I just was doubting myself hard. But I dug deep. I found that glimmer of hope that sits there always, and I snatched onto it real hard, and now I am pushing forward. So. This is me pushing forward and trying to climb over the mountain of doubt that is sitting in front of me right now. And so I hope that you all see that it is not sunshine and roses. And even though I've come through what I've come through and I'm sitting here thankful and feeling jovial and all those things, it still is hard. And I still get sad, and I still doubt myself, and those old pieces of me that I shake off still creep up sometimes, and I have to remind myself that it no longer has power here, and my eyes are set on the future. So, thank you, everyone, and I am happy that I got to this point because it feels a little bit better already. So here we go. Chapter 7, My Father, His Sons, and Their Divine Mother. So a little catch up before we dive into the juicy bits. My parents' story is a complicated one. My mom worked at A&W when she was, 18 or so. And as she tells the story, my father showed up several times asking her out, and every time she said no. Finally, I guess she said yes, and he swept her off her feet. She claimed he was quite charming, and she quickly fell for him. A little side story, though, that I remembered my mom telling when she worked at A&W. She used to dress up as the A&W bear, and she went to say hello to a kid in a car, because back then they had drive-up. It was cool. So she put her head in the car to say hello to the kid, and when she pulled out, her head fell off into the kid's lap. So if you're out there, A&W boy, I apologize for my family traumatizing you from eating at A&W. Please, get over it. Eat a burger. It's delicious. Back to the story. So he charmed my mom, and they had a baby, which was me. But then my mom found out that he had another girlfriend, and she also had a baby, which was 6 months younger than me. So, my mom let him go back to his family to raise his new son with his wife, now wife, and she took me to raise me alone in BC. So I think that catches us up. We can go on to the story now. Over the years, there were other partners that came and went in our lives. There was Mustache Man, the Wendy Lady, and then there was the angry lady. We will not get into her. She is, just know that she was angry most of the time. But it was always my mom who carried the weight of raising us. I occasionally wondered about my father, but it wasn't something I dwelled on. It just didn't seem to matter to me much. My mom always loved us enough for two parents. When I turned 18, my father reached out to me, inviting me to London to finally meet him and his family. Whether this was my mother's idea or his, I'll never know. The plane ride to London felt like an eternity, not only because it was my first flight, but I was about to meet my dad and his family for the very first time. The anticipation and fear thundered in my heart like I'd never felt before. I was terrified. I'm not sure if I was... I don't even know what I was scared for. I know that it wasn't a feeling of being excited to have a father finally. It was more a feeling of, is he going to like me? Am I enough? During that flight, there was a lady beside me who she could see that I was terrified and lost, and she listened to my story. She knew where I was going, and she comforted me and reminded me that it was going to be okay and that he was going to love me. I am very thankful to that lady because I don't think I would have survived that flight on my own. Her kind words were very, very much appreciated. The plane landed and I swiftly gathered my belongings and made my way towards the parking lot. To my surprise, my dad was waiting there with his brother. The rush of emotions made it hard to register anything that he said. I do not remember what he said or how I felt in that moment. I was scared. I was super scared. I was probably one of the most scared I have ever been in this life. I do remember in the middle of the adrenaline and the chaos, I remember my dad asking me a question and it caught me off guard. He wanted to know if I was gay. It struck me as odd at the time that his immediate concern was whether I liked men or women. I was like, why is everyone so concerned with my sexuality? At this point, I had no awareness of me being gay. I mean, it was a thought and it hit across my mind, but it wasn't official and it wasn't anything that I was ready to talk to him about. In the moment, I remember that his brother seemed to be very gay. His mannerisms, his tone, the way he talked. I was surprised that my father was asking me this question when his brother sitting right beside him seemed to be very, very gay. But his brother had a wife. And I guess they never questioned it. When I arrived at my dad's house, his wife was there to greet me. As she enveloped me in a hug, tears streamed down my face. In that vulnerable moment, she resembled my mom, and the overwhelming feeling of loneliness began to fade away. She held me tightly, assuring me that everything would be okay. Though she wasn't my mom, her presence was as close as I could get at the time. The remainder of the trip remains fragmented in my memory. I spent a great deal of time with my newfound brothers, and it was striking how much we resembled each other. We did our best to bond the gap that separated us for so long. Together, we navigated the complexities of this newfound family. My brothers tried to include me in this odd game that they would play, where they would choke each other until the other passed out and then they would pull each other's pants down.
What?
It was downright weird, and I had no interest in participating. I remember feeling a mix of confusion and disgust towards their behavior. And then there was the unfortunate moment when my father asked me about the size of my genitals. Such a strange and inappropriate question to ask your own child. It only reinforced the fact that I came from a truly peculiar family. It made me realize that despite thinking I had a crazy life, our household was actually relatively normal compared to the chaos and dysfunction I witnessed during this trip. During those formal dinners, we had to adhere to proper etiquette. We had to ask for permission to be excused from the table, which was a stark contrast to my home life where we rarely ate dinner together. My father's house always felt empty and cold even when all of us were there. At some point during the trip, my father took me to meet my grandparents. They were lovely people. My grandma especially, she was so kind. They both had strong Jamaican accents, and although I could barely understand my grandmother's accent, I could feel her genuine affection towards me. She even expressed her desire to make me a delicious lamb sandwich, which up until that point I never had before, but it was probably one of the most tastiest things I have ever had. It was a rare moment of feeling truly loved and embraced as part of that family. My father still had to work during the trip, so he gave me $500 as some sort of compensation for the 18 years of my life that he had missed. It was a meager gesture towards circumstances. I was not expecting any money. And please don't think that I was ever that petty. I was going on a trip to meet my dad for the first time. Money was the furthest thing from my mind. Though arriving at his house and seeing how they lived was beyond. Their house was huge. Everyone had their own room. There was a mom. There was a dad. There was a car. There was a family room. And I lived in a basement suite with my mom and my sister, and my mom slept on the couch. There was barely enough room for two people in that apartment. Leaving there, it made me realize that money does not buy happiness. That family was nice, but I don't think they're very happy people. So I took the $500, and my brothers took me to a Toronto mall that was right across the street from Much Music, which was very cool in my mind. And we went shopping. Since it was the 90s, everything was baggy. I picked up some clothes along with some goggles like Usher used to wear and a pair of white Tommy Hilfiger shoes. I looked like I was ready to star in a P. Diddy music video. Everything my brothers secretly desired but were forbidden to wear. But once I returned home, it was the same story. I faced teasing and mockery for my style. People would say things like, "What, you think you're black now?" I felt like I just couldn't catch a break. No matter what I did or how I expressed myself, there was always someone ready to tell me I was wrong. It's funny. Through this life, I have always been trying to change myself so other people would like me. And it only took 44 years to change myself so I would like me. As the trip was nearing its end, tensions between my father and his wife escalated. I could hear them arguing frequently, but there was a particular fight that seemed more intense. I could never quite understand the exact cause of their arguments, but I always feared that my presence somehow contributed to their disagreements. After finally returning home, back to where I was loved, I was relieved to be back with my family. My mom and my sister and the Wendy lady and the mustache man and the angry lady, they were my home. They were all I've ever known. It was messy, and it was chaos, and it was drugs and drinking, but deep down, underneath all of that, there was love. And more than I even kind of felt in the house with my father and his sons and his wife. I can't recall exactly how soon after I returned home, but I vividly remember a phone call from my dad. I overheard my mom saying, "You tell him." "I'm not telling him." She handed me the phone, and even before he spoke, I could sense the disappointment in his voice. He informed me that I had caused too many problems within his family. I was the problem. I was again the problem. I was no longer allowed to see them. I was forbidden from calling my brothers, my grandparent, or anyone in his life. The weight of his words struck me like a powerful blow, and I dropped the phone to the ground, collapsing to my knees. It felt as if my legs had simply given up on me. The tears that followed were unlike anything I had ever experienced. There was only one other time in this life that I have cried with such depth. It left me utterly drained and exhausted. I never heard from my father again after that. There was a time I moved to Calgary, and I was making bad choices, which is what I did for the majority of this life, and I couldn't pay rent, so I called my mom asking for my father's number. And she only had my grandmother's number, which I called, and she was very happy to hear from me, wanted to know if I was okay, and that she would get my father to call me and not to worry, that she will have the money sent. My father called me back very quickly, and he was very upset. He was very angry that I had reached out to them, and he asked me, "Is it for drugs? Is it for sex?" What does he think of my family? Of me? He'd only known me for 7 days, and right away, yeah, I was just this garbage human. Anyway, he told me never, ever, ever to contact any one of them ever again. And he threw $250 at me and sent me on my way. I was hesitant to do this story. I don't know how it makes me feel. I don't know if I'm angry or sad or bothered. It's more like a stranger mistreating you and you kind of just sweep it under the rug. There's also this piece of me that feels like I should be more upset and more bothered because his DNA is in my body, but I don't. I don't care. It is a piece that happened, but it is not a piece that really ever defined me other than that moment. Anyway, that will end the story of the first time and last time I met my father. I'm kind of happy that this story came up when it did, because I really don't have a ton of feelings towards it, and I don't know. I do know I wasn't feeling great this week to tell a story that needed me to feel it with a little more depth. So, I guess that's it. I just want to, again, thank everyone for listening. Thank everyone for being supportive and sending out good energy in my direction. And I, as always, send it right back to you. That's it for this week. Thank you so much, everyone. I am so grateful. And like always, fill your tanks with joy, happiness, and kindness. And when you feel it spilling over the edges, share it with everybody around you. I am Thomas St. James, and this is my Curiously Queer Life.